anybody. Say it a little louder so I can hear you. He's skipping the part. Come on, go ahead. You skip the scripture. You skip scripture. Come on. Oh, you come on, sir. Come on. Anybody? So nobody know what Joshua 1:8 says about her. Nobody in the room. All right, well, that's an assignment. You might want to commit that to memory, because I might come in one class, and that may be your exam. All right. One of the things about living by the book is your memory is important. You have a memory for a reason. You know, a lot of times, for so many years in the Word of Faith, we've tried to educate our spirit at the expense of our mind, but how can something get connected to our spirit without our mind? How do you hear with your mind? How do you see with your mind? All right, so God gave you a mind for a reason. It's not a battle to where you're supposed to be spiritual and you're just supposed to renew your mind. Well, how you renew your mind? By putting the word in your mind, by using your mind, all right? So your memory is important. So Joshua 1:8, y'all pick that one up. All right, it's very important to your study life. All right, it's very important to the flow of how you do it. Go turn into it. Joshua 1:8, go ahead, turn into it. Hey, y'all be getting it. Y'all be like, oh, yeah, I understand. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He skipped the scripture. He skipped to a whole another scripture. That girl said, good acceptable and perfect will of God. Joshua chapter 1, I know you're looking at it. Oh, yeah, I can quote it now, boy. See, one thing about the word too. See, when that situation come up, you ain't got no time to run. Hold on, devil, let me get my Bible. Hold on, situation, let me go run and get my Bible. Nah, that stuff got to be in there already. All right, read it. Ready, read. Then you make away prosperous. Then you have good success. We're going to read it every time I come in here. You commit it to memory. All right? I committed that scripture to memory a long time ago, all right, because it's important to me. Anytime you tell me this is how I'm going to make my way prosperous, this is how I'm going to have good success, you mean this is how I'm going to be effective, then I need to know what this scripture is saying. All right? Same thing with Psalms 1. All right, you don't know from top to bottom. All right? So, But these scriptures talk about delighting in the law of the Lord. These scriptures talk about meditating. They talk about observing. All right? They talk about observing, not just to see it, but to do it. Observing to do, according to all that's written therein. Not until you do that will you have prosperity or will you have good success. Not until you decide to do that. All right? Not until you've observed to do everything that's written in that book will you have complete and total success. Now, your ministry success depends on that. Alright, y'all have ministry in front of y'all. Whatever capacity of ministry God calls you to be, it will not be successful if you have not observed to do. If you're not taking his word and observe it to do it and then do it. So just remember that. So chapter four in your book. You know, before we go to, let's read Psalms 1:2. Psalms chapter 1. And we'll probably do that every week. I'm just letting you know now. So you can go ahead and put your little marker in your Bible on Joshua chapter 1 and then Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. You can all read it. Is everybody there? All right, y'all read together. Ready, read. Wait, read that last line again. Hold on, read it again a little louder. So that means that whatever I put my hand to is going to prosper. I think we read over those statements and we don't really understand what that means, how powerful that actually is. But can you imagine that whatever you put your hands to is going to work? Can you imagine about, anybody ever failed before? Huh? Anybody ever put your hand to something and it didn't work? Huh? You ever failed at something? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about fail school. I'm talking about fail. Like, you ever tried to do something and it didn't come out right? I don't care whether you're trying to bake a cake and it messed up. Have you ever failed at doing it? You ever put your hand to do something and it didn't work out? It's kind of demoralizing. Doesn't feel the best. You don't know if you want to try it again. It just didn't work out, right? Right? But can you imagine that whatever you do prospers? Like, can you imagine that whatever you set your hand to do, it works? I don't know if y'all gripping it in your mind yet. Like, whatever you decide, like, whatever you do, it works. That scripture tells us how to be fail-proof. That scripture shows us how to get 100% victory. How I win every time. The delight is in the law of the Lord. And that law does he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who shall bear fruit in this season, and leaf shall not wither. And whatever he doeth shall prosper. But whatsoever he doeth will be according to that word, because he delighting in that. And it's only prospering because it's according to that word. You see, when you delight in the word, what happens is your actions become word actions. And whatever you decide to do becomes word oriented. And whatever action that you take, or whatever things that you decide to endeavor upon, or things that you decide to do, whatsoever you decide to do, will be built on a word from God. And there's no word that God has ever sent out that has failed. Ain't that in Isaiah? There's no word that's come back. There's no word that God has ever sent out that didn't accomplish what he said it would do. All right? So now, once again, we live by the book now. If there's failure somewhere, somewhere along the line, I didn't get a word. Somewhere along the line, I didn't delight myself in God enough for him to give me a word on that. See, in me, I fail. You too, I just want to warn you. You too, y'all, you too. Just in you, you fail. Ain't no winning in you, just in yourself. All right? The victory comes in God in you and the word of God in you. That's the only thing that never fails. God and his word is the only thing that never fails. You by yourself fail, but God and his word is the only thing that never fails. 100% victory, be on God and his word. Y'all see it? Whatsoever you do will prosper. That is enough for me to say, okay, verse 1 through 3.5, I got to do this. Because whatever I'm going to do is going to prosper. If I don't want to lose no more, because I don't like losing. Don't nobody in the room like losing. Y'all like losing? Who like losing? Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Don't nobody like losing. And don't nobody like failing. Tell the truth. You want to win every time you start, don't you? All right. Whatsoever you do will prosper if you do this. It's so simple. It's so simple, yet we make it so difficult because we want to do what we want to do. You know, it's when self gets into situations when it starts getting thrown off. Be honest. Anytime there's a problem, anytime there's a lack, anytime there's a failure, anytime there's a not wanting to do something, that's self. Every time. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper if you do everything from one to there. Everything you do gonna prosper. I don't want to leave that yet. Everything you do going to prosper. Your ministry going to prosper. Your life going to prosper. Your family going to prosper. Your health is going to prosper. Your pocket is going to prosper. Everything that you do, whatsoever he doeth, shall prosper. This scripture been in the Bible for years. Huh? Wait, this principle been in here for years, huh? This principle was here before you got here. This principle was here before you decided to come to ministry school. This principle was here before you got saved. The principle been here. So if the principle's been there and it's the truth, we should be getting more results if we would only do what the scripture says. Do y'all see that? We on the brink of ministry. That's where you're at right now. We're on the brink of ministry. You want 100% victory in the ministry? You want a prosperous ministry? Follow the scripture. Let me tell you now before, you know, they got two kind of schools. You can either learn what you got to do or you can go to the school of hard knocks. Why should you have to bust your head to learn a lesson? Why should you have to fail 1,000 times to learn a lesson when the scripture says, if you meditate, delight yourself in the law and meditate on day and night, everything you do will prosper. So that means your ministry is not built on your name or international, whatever you want to call it, or your reverend or your bishop or your apostle or whatever you want to call yourself. It's not built on that. It's built on the word. It's built on God's word. And that is the thing that'll make it prosper. You know, in ministry, I had this other class before and over, but in ministry, you know, we do a lot of, just preachers just do a lot of different things to try to make ministry pop off. They say, well, maybe if I become, you know, Reverend such and such, or maybe if I call myself a bishop, or maybe if I call myself this, that's gonna make it work. No. It's not in the title. You know, Jesus ain't never walked in the room and gave no title. You know I'm the Messiah, right? He never did it. He never walked in the room and said, you know I'm him, right? No, he never did it. He wasn't Reverend Jesus. Come on. Whatever you do will prosper if you do this scripture. It ain't number three. Blessed is the man that walking down the counsel of God, not standing with sin, not sitting to see the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves shall also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth. Oh, that's ministry school right there. Huh? Chapter 4. And we started reading last week, and we're on page 39. So there's a method to the madness. There's methodicalness. Method is methodicalness. It takes certain steps in certain order to guarantee a certain result. Not just any steps, not just any order, not just any result. Y'all see where I'm at? So number one is observation. What is the main question under observation? We underlined it last week. What's the main question? What do I see? The moment you come to scripture, you should ask, what are the facts? You assume the role of biblical detective, looking for clues. No detail is trivial. This leads to the second step. So now observation says what? What does observation say? Come on, y'all get a little quicker than that. What does observation say? What do I see? So when you're observing to do in the Bible, what is it that I'm seeing to do? What's the fact? What are you telling me to do? All right. Well, leads to number two, which is what? Interpretation. And what's the main question in there? What does it mean? So what does this mean? You remember we started, I know some of y'all are probably doing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Y'all remember that? Last week, y'all was trying to find all y'all little want spots, huh? I know you think, I was thinking about them too. I was in the car, like, man, where I'm been wanting at? Lord, where you ain't my shepherd at? I started asking. I'm sure I will pray that a lot of y'all got some answers too. I pray the Lord start showing y'all some stuff. That's what it's about. So interpretation, what does this mean? Your central quest is for meaning. Unfortunately, too many Bible studies begin with interpretation, and furthermore, usually ends there. Before you understand, you have to learn how to see. So you're talking about observation and interpretation. Now, remember that he said it's a certain steps in certain order. All right? When doing things properly, you have to do it in a certain order. You know, you can't bake a cake and do it backwards. You put the pan in and heat the pan up, and then you put the mix in there. You think the cake gonna rise? No. You gotta put the stuff in and put the mix together, then put it in the pan, then put it in the oven and let it rise. Right? You do it backwards, it don't work. Right? Certain step, certain order, certain results. There's a method to the madness. Okay? Now I love this too because it helps you. Because otherwise, and we're gonna talk about it in a minute, but otherwise you're just gonna be doing a bunch of random flipping through the Bible. And you ain't gonna get nothing. It's a bunch of random stuff. The Bible's supposed to line up. You know, the Bible says line up on line, precept on precept. That's what it's supposed to be. So certain steps, certain order. So now we're interpretation. Third one is application. What's the main question in there? How does it work? Not, what's the next line? Not does it work, because the word of God works. But how does it work? People are saying they're going to make the Bible relevant, but if the Bible is not already relevant, there's nothing you or I will do to help. The Bible is relevant all on its own. Right, ain't nothing you, in this relationship between me and this, this is making me better, not the other way around. This don't need me to be useful. All right, I always like to, I like to bring us back down to earth as ministers. Sometimes I like to bring us back down to earth and understand it ain't you ain't that important to make this relevant. God is relevant and his word is relevant all on its own. We are just allowed and given the privilege to be able to use this and convey it to another if we do it properly, right? But this is relevant whether you say it or not. So many people say, I'm going to make the Bible relevant, but if the Bible is not already relevant on its own, there ain't nothing you or me going to do to make it relevant. The Bible is relevant because it is revealed. It's always a return to reality. And for those who read it and heed it, it changes. Read it and heed it. When we talk about that, read it and heed it, it changes their lives. There's no change if you're just reading. Huh? Y'all know what reading does? You know what reading the Bible do? Yeah, but my dad told me when I was younger, he said, when you're reading these books, sometimes you read these different books. He said, when you're reading the book, stop trying to conquer the book. He said, you're just trying to read it so you can say you finished reading the book. But how many times you read a chapter or something and you don't remember nothing in the chapter? You ever done that before? You do it a lot in school. You're about to read the book and you just, and you read every word, but you don't remember nothing that happened. You ain't observed a thing, right? And many times, you can get to the point where you're reading, and reading the Bible appease your feelings sometimes. It'll make you feel accomplished. But what's really being accomplished? Hold on, let me say it again. When you're reading, just reading, sometimes it'll make you feel like you did your duty for the day. Or you felt like you did something, but what really did you do? Feel like you accomplished something, but if ain't nothing manifest, you really didn't accomplish anything. So if those that read it and heed it, then it could change, not just reading it. Are y'all with me? I gotta observe to do and do all that's written therein. For then it changes me. Then it changes my life. But I've gotta read and I've gotta hear. Everybody say read and heed. Ain't no change before that. If you just reading, ain't no change. It takes firsthand knowledge. This methodicalness is a view. Next line, this methodicalness with a view of becoming receptive and reproductive. Listen to this next line. Question, do you want to make an impact on society? Answer me. Huh? I can't hear y'all. Y'all act like y'all. I can't hear y'all. Yeah, I want to do it. Do you want to make an impact? Okay, so the next line says, first, and what does it say? So before you get out here, go ahead, underline it, go ahead, take your time, underline it. Before you try to go impact the world, you better impact the world. Impact your world. Let the word of God impact your world before you try to impact the world. You know, something about the word of God that when it gets into you and it starts impacting you, then when you deliver it to another, it becomes more powerful and more effective. The release of the Spirit comes along with it. You know, my father was telling me about, he said, you can't just preach the word, but you got to release the Spirit behind the word. It's a release of the Spirit that comes along with it. But you can't release a spirit of the word if it has not changed you first. What's going to happen is just you're going to be babbling and, everything going back to this, because 1 Corinthians 13 talking about if we ain't got the love, then we just making noise. We just a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So we not falling in love with this word on our own already, then when we say it, People, you know, the beautiful thing, what preachers don't understand and people don't understand, a lot of ministers that play games, they don't understand that, the Bible says there's a spirit on the inside of man. And so there's a spirit on the inside of you that can tell, it can kind of, you can tell the difference. You ever been in a meeting and somebody's preaching and everything was just hitting you and falling on the floor because it was just like a dead word? It's just like, when they going to finish? I can't wait till they stop. Why am I here? Right? Right? Okay, yeah, all y'all been in meetings like that. Me too. But then you ever been in the other meeting where that word start coming and it's like, boom, and like, you know, you done with that word that hit you already. You can't hear nothing else for the next 5 minutes because that word's still dealing with you. Because there's a release of the spirit. And there's a spirit on the inside of man that knows when there's a connection. When there's a connection in that word and that spirit, they know when there's a spirit that's releasing it to their spirit. They understand that. But that can't happen, and a release of the spirit cannot become come behind that word if it has not impacted your spirit man first. You want to impact society? Let the word impact you first. And then once it's impacted you, then in turn, it can impact everything around you. But it got a word in the Bible talking about let the word work its course through you first. Want to make an impact on society? First, the scripture has to make an impact on you. Jump down to the next paragraph. So it is in the spirit realm when God's word and a receptive, obedient individual get together. And I circled this. What did it say? Circle it. Watch out. There's a combination that can transform society. Now, there's not the church as a whole is not making the transformation that it should. And the scripture says, be ye not conformed this way, but be ye transformed, right? By the renewal of your mind. That's a word of scripture, right? And then the world is supposed to become conformed to us. It's supposed to be transformed and translated into what God originally created. That's what's supposed to happen. You say, well, Montreal, why is this not happening? Well, it's not happening because a lot of people are preaching a lot of stuff, but that word ain't running through them. And so now the release of the Spirit and the Spirit of God can't be released upon society because they're hearing a bunch of words. You know, anybody can preach. Anybody can get up there and do a message. I can give y'all an outline and you can come up here and preach it. I can give you an outline. I can do you better than that. I can put you up here and put your little earpiece in your ear. There can't nobody hear, nobody. And I can be in the other room and I can tell you exactly everything to say. But I mean, what's the point? Ain't no releasing no spirit. You ain't even know what you was going to say next. Y'all get what I'm saying? So I want to get over the point of just preaching messages. Don't you ever go out there and just preach a message and you ain't got no spirit on that. If somebody asks you to go preach a message or somebody invites you to minister, you better make sure that you talk to God about that before you accept the invitation, number one. But then number two, if you accept it, you better doggone show, prepare yourself for what's about to come. Don't go pick up one of the apostle messages and listen to it and write down the notes and go try to preach it. You ain't let it work in you. Because you're doing an injustice. You do the word an injustice by just talking about it. And too many people running their mouth. They're running their mouth, running their mouth. Quoting a bunch of scriptures, saying a bunch of stuff, but ain't no change. Why ain't no change? Is the word of God not impactful? No, it's not about whether the word of God is impactful. But they just throwing up against the wall like it ain't nothing. And they ain't using it to the fullness of its ability. They're prostituting the word. Abusing the word. Abnormal usage. They're abusing the word. They're trying to rape the word of God. They're trying to get something out of the word of God that they're not making yield. They're trying to take it without being intimate, without building a relationship. You can't rape the word. You can't try to make the word give you what you want. You got to give yourself to the word. Do you understand this? You have to give yourself to that word for that word to yield anything to you. That word, the word of God, that word got to know that it's got you. before I give you anything, before I yield any manifestation to you, that word got to know that I got you. Because if I yield manifestation to you and I don't know that I got you, then you're gonna abuse it. It's a combination that can transform society. And that's what personal Bible study is designed to do, to transform your life and as a result, transform your world. You want to change the world, change your life. The next line says, third statement completes our definition. Method is methodicalness with a view to becoming receptive and reproductive. Watch this. By means of firsthand, with the world. What does it mean to be acquainted? Your own definition. Go ahead. I'm not looking for Webster's. Come on. To know them. Intimacy. All right. You're spending time. When you get acquainted with somebody, you spend time with them. When you get to know somebody, you spend time with them. A lot of us think we know the word, but we don't know the word. A lot of us know of God, but we don't know God. Sometimes we know what the word says, but we don't know what it's really saying. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Hold on. I'm saying something. It sounds like a riddle, but I'm saying something. We know what the word says, but we don't know what it is saying. Are you with that? Do y'all understand what's going on? So you understand what the word says, but you don't know what God is saying through that word. You don't know the lie. By firsthand acquaintance with the word. The next line said, there's nothing that beats prolonged personal exposure to the Bible. It's vital. Without it, you will never be directly involved with what God has to say. It said, prolonged personal exposure. What do you mean to prolong something? To go longer than normal, huh? To stay longer than you normally would stay. Prolong, to be there longer than you think is needed. That sounds like meditation to me. That sounds like meditation when you stay in that word. How many scriptures y'all think y'all know? Y'all thought y'all knew what the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want was, didn't you? You've been quoting it since you were little, huh? You thought you knew what it was, huh? Then we just started living by the book. They started observing, interpreting, you started applying, and all of a sudden, I ain't even know what this said. And this is just the first part of it. Some of y'all probably went on and started living by the book with the rest of it. You ain't even know, but you thought you knew. And so that's why, because you think you know, the Bible says no man should think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But it says think soberly. All right, come down off your intoxication of you think you know something. All right, hold up. Don't think more highly than you ought to think. And so now I can get to this word, but you get to the Lord and my shepherd, I shall not want to make me lie down green, but we skip over it, huh? We just go on through it. We skip over. Why? Because we think we know. The old statement say, you think you know, but you have no idea. Because you think you know. And so you just skip over. Because you think you know. Without it, you'll never be the prolong. Everybody say prolong. Come on, say it again. Prolong. Come on, say it again. Prolong. Prolonged exposure. It's almost like I've been studying too long. You almost feel like, man, I've been under one scripture too long. I've been sitting under one scripture entirely too long. I've been reading this one chapter entirely too long. Well, did you get all the meat out of it? Don't tell me, yeah, because there's no such thing as getting all the meat out the word. That don't exist. That's like saying I done got all of God. You can't do it. Prolong exposure is vital. Without it, you'll never be directly involved with what God has to say. You'll always have to, and I underline this, depend on an intermediary. You know what that means? You're always going to need somebody telling you what God said, and you ain't going to never know. You're always going to have to need somebody. You know what happens when you don't study the word? You go back into an Old Testament lifestyle. Matter of fact, when you don't study the word like you're supposed to, you're denying all the benefits that Jesus died for. You know, because Jesus died for us to have a relationship with the Father and to be able to have, he said, Jesus said when he left, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you somebody what his name is. Well, who he said he's going to leave with you? Come on, y'all. Come on, Bible student. All right, we're going to get this Bible, boy. Y'all Bible student got to answer me. Y'all be like, who he going to leave? Was it Paul? No. No, y'all, come on. Come on, who are you talking about? The Holy Ghost. He said, I'm not going to leave you confident. His name is the Confidence. His name is the Holy Ghost. He's going to teach you all things, to guide you in all truth, and show you things to come, right? But I don't have access to the Holy Ghost until Jesus died on the cross for me. So now I have no access to revelation knowledge or a live word from God. I had the books and the scribes, but I had no access to revelation knowledge because Jesus hadn't died yet. But now that Jesus died, I got access to a live word from God. But if you don't meditate, take time to study the word, then you're denying Christ. You're denying the price that he paid. You're denying the opportunity he gave you to be right there in the will of the Father. So now you need an intermediary. In the Old Testament, I had to go in the story. The intermediary was the priest. You couldn't hear from God. You needed, if I was the priest, y'all had to sit here and wait for me until I told you what God said. And the priest, they used to say, priests used to walk in with a robe on. They put bells on the bottom of the robe. They tie a rope to their leg. Because if they go in there, if they got sin in there, they're going to drop dead and they just drag them on out and get a new priest. The bells start jingling, that means he fell. Not Christmas time, that means he fell. Put him on out. At that time, only the priest could go into the holies of holies. Intermediary. It's almost like you put yourself in caveman status. It's like you took yourself out of regular lights and now you're working by lanterns. It's like you stop driving in a car and you start riding horseback everywhere. Come on. You stop cooking with a stove and now you gotta go build a fire outside. You put yourself on some old medieval revelation. You start living like a, watch this, you ready? Oh, you ain't gonna like this one. You start living like, ooh, you ain't gonna like this one, but you start living like a Neanderthal. You need an intermediary. So now, but what happened when the attack come on, we not at school now, not Monday, not Tuesday, not even Wednesday, Bible, you just wherever you at, the attack come in the middle of the day and your intermediary ain't there. See, that's why you got to know this word for yourself. And you got to be in this word for yourself, because when the enemy comes in and the attack comes, you are able to stand and say what the word of God says, not just what was written, but what's in your heart. Stop putting yourself on the Old Testament. Stop putting yourself back in sinner status. Putting yourself back in the status of somebody without a covenant. Putting yourself in the status of somebody who has no hope. Who got to go and sacrifice a lamb every so often. Putting yourself back in that status. Every time that you decide not to meditate on this word and have prolonged exposure, and every time you decide to sit in that word and you skim over it, or you do it for religion's sake, or you do it because you feel like you didn't pat yourself on the back, every time you do it, you put yourself back in a sinful status. You put yourself back in an unrighteous status. I want to say it in so many different ways. You put yourself back in a non-covenant status. What is non-covenant? What does it mean? Well, when I didn't have a covenant with God, when I didn't have a relationship with God, when I was sinning, I was they say I was disconnected from God. But if you ain't meditating and you ain't getting a fresh word from God, you disconnected from God. Don't call me no sinner. I ain't call you no sinner. Your meditation called you that. Don't tell me I ain't got no covenant. I ain't tell you I ain't no covenant. Your meditation told you ain't got no covenant. The amount of time you spend in the prolonged or short long exposure, what you doing? And so you put yourself. Don't tell me what to do. Don't treat me bad. You put yourself to a position to where you can't hear from God for yourself. you do it. And so you make it where you need an intermediary. Now you need me to come and tell you what the Lord said. But I'm not coming with you tomorrow. I got stuff to do tomorrow. Don't call me tomorrow. Hey, my child, what the Lord tell you? What the Lord told you? You know, people call, and sometimes I talk to friends of mine, and I told them, I said, man, you got to get closer to God and start seeing what God is saying to you when you alone, if ain't nobody else around. If you called me just now and I didn't answer the phone, you still need an answer. If don't nobody else ever answer the phone, God dog it, I know God going to answer. If don't nobody say another word to me, I know God is going to speak to me. You got to get to that point. You've got to get to that point. You've got to get that far in love and get to that point of meditation to where it don't matter if nobody else says anything to me. I know I can hear from God, and I know he speaks to me because I'm right there in love with him. If you don't get there, you need to quit. Ministry ain't for you. You need to go sit in the pew and just be regular. If you're not willing to get there, just stop. Don't pay another penny of tuition. Because they got to get there. You know, in the day of judgment, at the end of the day, God don't ask what y'all did. He asks what you did. He going to ask you why you didn't hear me. Not why you, when you go to Word of Life, why y'all ain't hear me. No, he ain't say why y'all ain't hear me. He going to say why you ain't hear me. See how serious it is? We take it. We tiptoe. We tiptoe. We got to take this more serious. We got to take this meditation time, this study time more serious. And you say, well, Montreal, how you know how serious I'm taking? I ain't judging how serious. However serious you taking it right now, you need to take it more serious than that. You can never get serious enough when it comes down to taking that word in and seeing what God is saying. It should be an unquenchable hunger. It should be something that it's an insatiable desire. It's just, I can't get enough. I can't get enough of what you're saying. I can't get enough of hearing your voice. I can't get enough of what you're trying to tell me. I can't get enough of your revelation. It should get to the point where I can't get enough. If it's to the point where you feel like you have enough, you need to go back and check your salvation. You need to really go back and check if you're saved or you feel like you got enough. Because it don't get enough. You don't reach that. You always hunger and you always thirsty. And even when you're filled, I'm still hungry. And I'm still thirsty. And it puts me to a point where I don't need nobody to stand in between. I can hear from God when I need to hear from him. Do y'all get me? I can hear from God. I can't remember no times. And thank God for your connections. Don't get me wrong. Thank God for your connection. Thank God for your submission. But sometimes, you know, for me, you know, this is my physical father. You know, not only my spiritual father, he's my physical father. But sometimes some stuff come up and I can't get him on the phone. I got to hear from God right there for me. Do y'all get that? Yeah. I got to see what God is saying. It can't be to where your connection should be a pull up to another level, not a crutch. Most people go into the relationship with wrong ideas. And they want to connect because it's a wrong idea. You don't understand. It's not for you to just have somebody to lean on and you, well, tell me what the Lord telling you, sir. No. What is the Lord telling you? What if sir ain't there? So it's important to spend this prolonged time. You're taking too long studying. You doggone right, I'm taking too long. Why you studying so long? Because I'm supposed to. If I don't study long, I'm studying wrong. You know, there's a statement in the street say, study long, study wrong. You ever heard that before? You play pool. My dad usually, he real good at pool. When we playing pool, he'd be like, you know, I'm ready, I'm taking my shot, and I'm trying to win. He'd be like, you know, you study long, you study wrong. That's just a statement. Just a statement in the streets. Study long. But I flip it. When it comes out of this word, if you don't study long, you done study wrong. All these short studies. What about your short study? Prolong. What time is it, Darius? Uh-huh. Amen. Y'all dismissed.